This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. The life of a U.S. president is a guarded one. From the moment they are elected to the hour of their death, they get 24/7 Secret Service protection. Access is restricted for their safety, but it also limits the public from seeing what their real life is like behind the scenes. The White House presidential photographer gives us a glimpse.
Sousa can't know when something historic will happen, so he shoots it all. It's blanket coverage that takes some getting used to.
I think sometime early in the administration, I had a conversation with the president. I was taking so many pictures every day, and he sort of asked me about it, and I explained it to him. I'm going to document every meeting that you have. It's for history.
That's narrator Morgan Freeman talking with Pete Sousa, who is President Obama's chief official White House photographer, from a 2010 documentary called The President's Photographer. We wanted to learn more about the history of following the president with a camera. So we're turning to Michael Martinez. He's a recovering photojournalist who now teaches at the University of Tennessee. And Michael, welcome to the program.
Great, thank you.
Who was the first official presidential photographer?
Oh, that's a tough one. It depends on how you define it. Abbey Rowe was the first one that was able to photograph in presidential activities. And then Cecil Stoughton was President Kennedy's photographer. But the first one that was hired specifically to be a presidential photographer was Yoichi Okamoto, who was LBJ's presidential photographer. And he was hired, specifically for that role.
Are there any photos that Abbey Rowe or Cecil Stoughton took that we might recognize?
Probably the most iconic photograph of any presidential photographer would be the one Cecil Stoughton photographed of LBJ being sworn in. And he was the only one there. And if it weren't for him, there would be no record of that. And it was him working his way into that plane when LBJ flew from Dallas back to D.C.
Oh, right. That photo of him being sworn in and Jackie Kennedy's at his side, just looking so distraught. What a picture.
Right.
When did the official presidential photographer then become the norm?
I would say LBJ. Cecil Stoughton was still part of the military service that his duty was to photograph some of Kennedy's activities, and ultimately he did stay on a little bit during LBJ's term. But Okamoto was the first one that actually was hired to be a full-time 24/7 presidential photographer.
And that was by LBJ?
Yes.
Interesting, because we know that LBJ had tapes of him, every conversation that he had on the telephone and in his office. Was he especially, preoccupied with the idea of documenting his presidency?
I think a little bit. I think it was more Okamoto pushing. He liked what Okamoto had done early on when he photographed LBJ in Germany on one of his vice presidential trips. Oki was not working for the White House at all. He was working for one of the foreign services.
USAID, I think.
Right, exactly. And he invited Oki to come and work as his documentary photographer. Oki predicated accepting the position that he had access to him from before he started his day till after he ended the day. He didn't want to just be summoned in on and off. You know, he wanted to be there whenever he needed to be there. He wanted to be there 24/7.
So fast forward to now, in the age of digital photography and social media, has that changed the way that White House photographers do their job?
I don't think it's changed the way that they photograph, but I think it's changed the way that the images are delivered. It used to be, prior to the internet, and prior presidents, before President Obama, they would go through a wire service and be distributed to newspapers and magazines that way. And now they go straight to the internet. And, you know, news organizations can pick them up, but the public can see them directly.
Are all photos taken by the White House photographer public domain?
Well, ultimately, they're public domain, but what they do, for example, Pete Sousa, he posts a selection of the day's activities. You know, you can't just go say, hey, I want to see all however many you shot on that day. But ultimately, down the road, once they're out of office and they're archived, you know, there's, well, you have to go through a Freedom of Information Act request, but ultimately you can get access to whatever has been shot.
Well, I noticed last year, I think it was last summer, photos taken inside of the White House on 9/11 were released.
Yes.
For the first time. So is there a kind of sensitivity around some photos? They may not release them?
Interestingly enough, the Presidential Records Act makes it to the point to where if you want to request some photographs to be able to see them, you have to submit a Freedom of Information Act request.
Mm-hmm.
And then a president whose office that you're trying to see the records of has say whether they're released or not. And now, having said that, I mean, that's how these recent 9/11 photographs were released, is that somebody asked for them.
I'm talking with Michael Martinez about the history of presidential photographers and how that job of following the president with a camera has evolved over the years. Well, I'm thinking about FDR. We never saw photographs of him in a wheelchair. You know, we certainly didn't see some of the activities in JFK's White House. But we did see some photos that others might consider compromising of LBJ.
Sure.
Can the president veto shots, in effect, that they don't like?
Well, up until the Presidential Records Act came into play, no. If you go to the presidential libraries and do research, literally there are notebooks showing from day one, from the inauguration day, you know, throughout his presidency, of contact sheets. And you can look through them. Once the Presidential Records Act was instituted, then it started restricting them as far as some are released and some are not.
So do they get unlimited access to the president?
That will vary by president. President Ford was very open with David Hume Kinnerly, and he got... I think if I remember correctly, there's only a couple of instances that had to deal with personnel matters that David didn't have access to. But other than that, from the records that I've been able to find, he virtually had unlimited access. Others are more restrictive, and it really is up to the president as to how much, you know, they'll let the photographer around them.
Yeah, I wonder about, you know, top secret clearance, or what kind of state secrets they might be privy to if they're taking photographs.
Well, it's interesting. Very specifically, for example, I was speaking with David Valdez, who was President George H.W. Bush's photographer, and he said he was summoned to the Oval Office when they were launching the Gulf War.
Hmm.
You know, presidents want those moments recorded oftentimes.
Well, that makes me wonder if we're getting a true picture insight into the presidency. It sounds like there's some curation going on here about what they want recorded.
Well, it depends on the president and how much they understand or really want documentation. Most of them do. You know, some of them, President Nixon, for example, was very, hands-on management and was concerned about his image much more so than some of the other presidents. And as I mentioned, LBJ, Okamoto said, I want unlimited access. Now, having said that, LBJ was very concerned about his image, but Okamoto was able to get into moments where, you know, he wasn't kicked out at all.
Even when he was in the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but I'm thinking with Nixon, I mean, that iconic photo of Nixon and Elvis in the White House when Elvis, I guess, kind of popped in.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they think, oh, this is a photo op. We can take a photograph of this.
Right, right.
Well, okay, so you're talking about how dependent it is on the president, what kind of access they get. But mm-hmm. Let's talk about Pete Sousa, who is somebody that, you know, photojournalists say he's not a photojournalist. He's more of an event photographer. He's looking for the best shot, not mm-hmm. the real shot.
Well, you know, his background is in photojournalism. He worked for newspapers prior to become the presidential photographer. What's interesting is I consider him a documentary photographer. He's documenting the presidency. I know there has been some criticism about him getting exclusive access where other members of the press are not able to go, and where they maybe should be able to participate.
Like where?
There's a couple of them. One was when President Obama visited a civil rights museum and sat in a bus that Rosa Parks rode in,
mm-hmm.
and Pete Sousa was the only one that was there photographing that. And there was another one. It was a meeting with the Dalai Lama, I believe it was, where, again, Pete Sousa was the only one that had access. And members of the media were arguing that, you know, those are events that a tight pool, if nothing else, should be able to be present.
Hmm. Well, it sounds like a really demanding job. You have to be on call all the time, you know, you serve at the president's pleasure. Would you want the job?
I'd love to have the job.
Really? Why?
To be able to see the person behind the scenes, to see the man that occupies the office, and be able to record it for posterity, I think that would be a great opportunity.
Michael, thank you for speaking with us.
You're certainly welcome. Thank you.
Michael Martinez, he is a former photojournalist, now assistant professor at the School of Journalism and Electronic Media at the University of Tennessee. Now, we do have links to read more and see more pictures from the White House Photography Office. That's at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.